from Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 1. Page 1126 of the Pew Bible. Hebrews chapter 13. Let us hear the word of God. Keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are ill-treated as if you yourselves were suffering. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money. Be content with what you have, because God has said, "Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you." So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by all by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by ceremonial foods, which are of no value to those who eat them. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. The high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering. But the bodies are burned outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. Pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Brothers, I urge you to bear with my word of exhortation, for I have written you only a short letter. I want you to know that our brother Timothy has been released. If he arrives soon, I will come with him to see you. Greet all your leaders and all God's people. Those from Italy send you their greetings. Grace be with you all. We pray for God's blessing upon the reading of his own word. Today we come to the fourth and last the message in our short series in preparation for the election and, we trust, the appointment of elders in the Church of Christ. I would like to speak to you for a short time this morning on the subject of our responsibility to our elders. Our responsibility to our elders. And we take as our text Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy and not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. Our text begins with two commands and summarizes certainly a great part of our responsibility to our elders in those commands. Obey and submit. The word obey then is repeated later in the verse. Obey your leaders. Obey them. Submit to their authority. These are words which are easy to understand. It means that we are to do what our leaders tell us to do, that we are to accept their instructions, that we are to listen to their counsel, that we are to respect their authority and to submit to it. Easy to understand. Not so easy to do, unfortunately. These are not popular words for any of us. Obey. Submit. Our hackles rise when we hear them. Our antenna start to send signals to our brain. We tend to become a little bit cautious and defensive and wonder what is going to be said. That's partly because of the natural rebelliousness of our human hearts. We don't like obeying anyone. We don't like submitting to anyone. Many Christian wives have a real struggle with the commandment of the Word of God to submit to the authority of their husbands. They know it's something that they should do. They know it's something that pleases God. And yet there are times when it's very difficult to do. We find it in our places of work. We're called to respect those who are our employers or our masters, and to submit to their authority. And because we're naturally rebellious, it's hard for us to do that. It's hard for a second reason. Because those whom we have to obey are themselves sinful and imperfect. They make mistakes. Sometimes their advice is not the wisest, and their example is not the best. We think it would be easy, I don't know whether it would be easy or not, to obey a perfect person or to submit to a perfect person. But when you can see the flaws in someone, it does rather go against the grain to have to obey them. Particularly in some cases, if you think you could do a better job than they're doing. I think it's hard for a third reason. We live in a very individualistic age. Church life is infected with that spirit of individualism. We all like to make up our own minds and do our own thing and please ourselves. And we're reluctant to think of there being an authority in the church which has an impact on our lives and affects what we do and how we behave. We tend to resent that. And yet, friends, this is a command from God. It's just as much a commandment as the Ten Commandments. God says to us, obey your leaders. Not perfect leaders, not sinless leaders, but your leaders. The leaders whom I have given you in all their inadequacy and imperfection. Those leaders, those elders, obey them. Submit to their authority. And just as we wouldn't, I hope, break one of the Ten Commandments with an easy conscience, so we cannot break this commandment. Our responsibility then to our elders is to obey them and to submit to their authority. Now, it would be quite enough if God were simply to command us to do that and then to say no more. Because God is God, and we are His people, and we are bound to obey Him. But in God's grace and love and wisdom, He gives us in this text four reasons, or four points, to make our obedience to our elders easier. To help us to obey. To encourage us. To make it not a burden, but a delight. To make us feel that we want to obey and to submit, and that it is in our interests to do so. It is good for us. It is a blessing. It is something which will help us to yield that obedience to our leaders. And I want to look very briefly at these four reasons with you this morning. Reasons to encourage us to obey and submit to our leaders. The first is this: because of their work. Because of their work. Our text says they keep watch over you. More accurately, they keep watch over your souls. They keep watch over your souls. And the word used there means they are sleepless on behalf of your souls. They stay awake on behalf of your souls. So here we have the work of the elders identified. Their responsibility, their great responsibility, is the spiritual well-being of the people. Your relationship your relationship to God, your spiritual progress, your growing in the likeness of Christ, that is their great concern. And they are not to treat this lightly. It is to be a matter of devotion and effort. Perhaps the picture is of prayer. Perhaps that's why the elders are sleepless. They're praying for you. How many people are there who are praying for you? Your elders are praying for you. How many people are concerned about your soul? Certainly your family, your friends, a few people. But your elders are concerned about your souls. How many people are really motivated to helping you become like Jesus Christ? That is the task of the elder. Surely the picture here is one of a watchman. Perhaps a sentry on the walls of a city. And while everyone else is sleeping, the sentry is watching. He is sleepless. He is alert and awake. And he's looking for danger, for the approach of an enemy. Now, supposing he sees an enemy approaching, that's his task. He then calls out to the people in the city and says, "There's an enemy approaching." Now, would it not be a very foolish thing if the people in the city said, "Why should we obey you? Why should we listen to you? Who are you to tell us what to do?" And they were just to roll themselves up in their blankets and go back to sleep. How foolish to ignore someone whose work is to watch in your interests. And all the influence of the elder, which you will be required to obey, is in the interests of your souls, to heed the warning, to listen. They watch, they are wakeful for your souls. Surely it is only common sense, it is only reasonable to listen to such men, to submit to them. There's a second reason. Because of their responsibility. Because of their responsibility. They keep watch over your souls as men who must give an account. As men who must give an account. That is something never to be forgotten by those of us who are elders. In all of our duties, there is a day coming when we shall have to give an account to God. When we shall have to stand before God and be judged as how we have served as elders. Did you care for my people, God will say. Did you keep watch over their souls? Did you pray for them? Did you advise them? Did you set them a good example? Did you teach them? I entrusted to you those people for whom my son died, for whom he shared his blood. I gave my church into your hands to look after it on my behalf. I gave you my elect to care for them. I gave you my sheep. How have you looked after them? Men who must give an account. In all our session meetings, in all our gatherings as a church, in all that we do as elders, we must remember that we will have to give an account. That is a heavy burden of responsibility. Perhaps there's some men here today and you're wondering if you may be elected today as an elder. And that may not be an arrogant or a presumptuous wish. Perhaps you've an earnest desire to serve Christ. Perhaps you've got a burden for the people of God. And the thought must have crossed your mind. It's possible that today the congregation should choose me to be an elder. And perhaps in the providence of God, you won't be chosen today. Perhaps other men will be nominated. And you will be passed by. And it would only be natural if you felt in your heart of hearts, although you wouldn't say it to anyone else, a certain degree of disappointment. Perhaps even a little bit of irritation. I don't know if that will be the case or not. I would say if that is the case, look at it a different way. The Lord has spared you a heavy responsibility. I don't think you should be annoyed. I don't think you should be disappointed. If that's the case, for some reason best known to himself, God has decided that this responsibility at this time is not for you. Maybe it will come to you in the future. Maybe it will never come to you. Some of the most excellent and godly and exemplary of men have never been called to serve as elders. It's not a popularity contest. It's not any verdict on your godliness or the love we have for you in the congregation. Some men wouldn't be suited to the eldership. I can think of at least one elder who would be catastrophically unsuited to being a deacon. We all have different gifts. The men who are elected today have a burden put on their shoulders, and it is a burden. Men who must give an account. And if God spares you that burden, be thankful. Be thankful. Their responsibility. Men who must give an account. A third reason in our text is their love. Their love. They keep watch over your souls as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden. In other words, the elders are emotionally involved in their work, emotionally involved with their people. When the people prosper, the elder is glad. He is filled with joy and with happiness at seeing people becoming more like Jesus. When people have problems, the elder groans and sighs. That's what the word burden really means. Sighing and groaning. If the people are rebellious and disobedient, the elder's heart is sore. He cannot sleep. He is grieved because he cares for the people. In other words, the elders are not cold professionals. This is a family. The church is a family. And the elders care for their people. They experience joy. They experience grief. They really care for you. When you prosper, they are happy. When you are ill, when you are bereaved, when you are burdened, when you are in difficulties, when you are in spiritual difficulties, they groan. They share your grief. Surely it's far easier to submit to the authority of those who care for us, who really care for us, who are involved. We can see tears in the eyes of our elders when we are suffering. We can see the concern on their faces as they come to our homes. As your elder puts his hand on your shoulder after a Sabbath service and asks you how you are, you know he cares. He's interested in me and in my family and in my children. He loves me. That is one of the enormous blessings of a small church. All churches should be small, I think. We tend to apologize for small churches. We shouldn't do that. If you go to a school and they have a good ratio of teachers to pupils, that's something they boast about. They say we have an excellent ratio. Only 20 pupils or whatever it is to each teacher. Not like these schools that have 34, 35 pupils to each teacher. We have an excellent ratio of pastor to people, of elders to people. We don't have to look after hundreds and hundreds of families, many of whom we scarcely know. We're small enough to be a family, to experience joy and grief together. You're not called to submit to someone who doesn't care about you. You're called to submit to someone who's like a father to you, who's like an older brother. And I can assure you, if you don't know it already, that whatever the faults and weaknesses of our present elders, and they would be the first to admit that they have them, every single one of them cares very, very deeply for all the members of our congregational family. And they are deeply emotionally involved. So we have reasons to submit to our elders. Their work, they keep watch for your souls. Their responsibility, they are men who must give an account. Their love, so that their work will be a joy and not a burden. And lastly, your salvation. The writer says, for that would be of no advantage to you. That would be unprofitable to you. If you reject their authority, if you reject their help and their counsel, who are you hurting? Well, you're hurting yourself. You're hurting yourself. If you've got a godly man who watches for your soul, who knows that he's going to have to give account for how he cared for you, and who loves you, if you don't listen to him, you're the loser. That would be of no advantage to you. The devil's lie is that we achieve fulfillment and happiness by going our own way. But here God has provided us with men, and the only thing they want for us is our spiritual good. That's all. That is their only motive. That is their only purpose and goal. To help you as a Christian. We have no other agenda. We have no plans that we want you to support. We have nothing that we want you to give us. There's nothing we want to get out of you. We don't want to manipulate you in any way. We don't want to exercise an unbiblical authority over you. If we're true to our calling, our only purpose is your spiritual well-being. Your spiritual well-being. Nothing else. So the writer says, if God gives you such men, listen to them, obey them, submit to them. Don't make their work a burden. Don't break their hearts. Don't disappoint them, frustrate them, and discourage them, for that would be of no advantage to you. It would be to your advantage to so live in obedience to God's word that those who have responsibility over you are filled with joy. How important then that we should make the right choice today. Amen. Let us bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for those of us who have been appointed as elders, and for those who we trust will be appointed this day, that you will bring home to our hearts that we are men who must give an account, that we may truly repent of our failures and our shortcomings and rededicate ourselves afresh today to your service, and seek, O God, to care for your beloved people as Jesus himself would do, to act on his behalf. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this people who bring so much joy to their leaders. We thank you for their responsiveness. We thank you for their love, for their prayer and their support. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the spirit which you have developed in our congregational family. O God, we praise you for this. How good and pleasant it is. So we pray now that you will guide and direct us and lead us by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. After the singing of this psalm, we're going to have a short congregational meeting. for the election of elders, I should think that it will probably take about 15 minutes, although that's maybe a bit hazardous to guess. There are a number of folk here who are not members of the congregation, and I just want to say that you're most welcome to stay. You may be interested in seeing what happens when elders are elected, so don't feel under any pressure at all to leave. The way it is organised, you'll not be in the way in any way, and you'll not be in any embarrassment. And as I say, I should anticipate it will take about 15 minutes. So after the singing of the psalm, we will convene session and begin the congregational meeting. It's from the large maroon psalter, Psalm 127a. And you'll understand why we're going to sing this psalm. We've all thought and we've prayed, we've perhaps talked in our own families, and we're seeking God's guidance. And this psalm reminds us again that in the final analysis, our only safeguard is that God's will may be done. Except the Lord shall build the house or appoint the elders, the builders lose their pain. Except the Lord the city keep, the watchmen watch in vain. Let us sing this whole psalm to God's praise.